what we're doing here is taken straight from Scripture. It's not a ceremony, but it's a remembrance. Just like you have a picture, remember a loved one. And it has its roots in what our Lord taught his disciples. I'm going to read here from Matthew 26. May our hearts and minds be directed to him who shed his blood. It says in verse 17 of Matthew 26, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread," according to the Jewish Passover tradition, that Feast of Unleavened Bread was celebrated throughout 1 week. They were not to have any leaven in their houses. They were not to eat any leavened bread. Leaven represents sin and corruption. And so this was a time during the Passover in which they would remember their sin, recognize, acknowledge the need for it to be removed, and then they would partake of the Passover feast, the Passover lamb. And so the disciples, when they came to Jesus, said unto him, verse 17, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" I'm sure they fully understood even at this point what they were saying, but that's really what this is about, prepare for thee. In other words, this is the Lord's table, and he's the one that is to be honored. And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." You have to think about the disciples that are around that table, but here was one that was the Lord's already. Wasn't just picking anybody's house. Here was one that, just like these disciples, would see through this Passover how it pertained to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord had already prepared him. And notice he said, "My time is at hand." Think back all throughout eternity, God purposed that the Passover in Israel be a type and picture of the Son. And now comes the fulfillment of it. Disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. So initially, all 12 were here, even Judas Iscariot. Like many in the Old Testament, they partake of that Passover feast, even though Paul said they weren't all Israel that are Israel. But now there's going to be a line drawn, because initially 12 were there. But he says to them, verse 21, "As they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And if you go and read the same rendering in the Gospel of John, you'll see that this dipping of his hand in the dish and marking Judas as being that one that should betray him, this was done before the actual transition into what we celebrate today as the Lord's table. And the Lord told him, once it was revealed, "What thou doest, do quickly." And he got up and left. So Judas never did partake of the Lord's table. It's not for betrayers. It's not for rebels. It's not for those that have not seen Christ, what these emblems represent. And that's what the Lord said. When he said that, they were exceeding sorrowful. Oh, that we would be exceeding sorrowful to think that we might be one of these, like Judas, that would betray the Lord. So I say this isn't just a ceremony. What we're holding in our hands is a picture. It's the only picture that God has ever left us of his Son. So all those that go out and try to draw pictures of a so-called Jesus and try to define him and design him, that's idolatry. If God had purposed to leave us an actual picture of his Son, he would have done so. There were artists back in Christ's day. If God had purposed that his passion be depicted by plays, there were plays that Rome was known for, plays, Colosseum. But that's idolatry. I know people find that harsh today. It's like my neighbor came out one day and said, "You go see The Passion, the movie?" And I said, "Nope." She said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because it hadn't been authorized." She said, "It hadn't been authorized." I said, "Yeah, If God had purposed to depict and display his son for who he is through a movie or a play, he would have done so. So anybody that does so without the authorization of God. But I'll tell you, he has left us two pictures. Actually, one picture, two elements. The bread that represents the body of Christ, unleavened, without any sin. He was without sin. And the blood represented in this cup. That's it. And if we think we need something more, or somehow that there's some spiritual grace that's granted by our eating or drinking of this cup, there again, we make an idol out of this. It's a picture of Christ. And only those that truly value it as a picture are ones that he's been pleased to reveal himself in. It's like people get their pictures out. They want to show you a picture of a loved one, and you kind of act interested. Like, oh, that's cool. But you know, if you didn't know the person, it's to say, okay, that's how many view this. Oh, okay. But I'll tell you, if he's taught you of himself, the longer I hold this in my hand, the more I hold this cup in my hand and think about who it represents, that bloodshed, oh my. These were exceeding sorrowful. It began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Another way that that's put in the original is, Lord, it's not me, is it? God forbid that it should be me. Such was their angst as he announced that one of them would betray him. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Lord knows all things. He even called Judas the son of perdition, even before this time had come. He said, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. In other words, even this betrayal, everything that would take place to our Lord, he goes as it is written of him. That's why the apostles could take the Old Testament and preach Christ and him crucified, because that's all they had at that time. But he was set forth there that every detail, all that should befall him as the Son of Man, would be according to what is written. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. There's something that'll pretty naive attitude. They say, well, if God's purposed all things, then what does that matter? We can't change it anyway. Just that response indicates a hardness of heart. Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. But I've often said people are like cattle. The butcher truck shows up, and they all want off. All the cattle look up for a while, kind of curious, and the next thing you know, they're right back down eating the grass. Oblivious to what awaits them. Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Because what awaits any for whom Christ did not pay the debt is eternal condemnation, damnation. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, and this shows his own hypocrisy. This is what all the men will do in their hypocrisy. He acts just like the rest. Master, is it I? And here's where the Lord says to him, you've played around, you fooled around. He knew what he'd already plotted. He said unto him, thou hast said it. You said it by your own mouth. That's where you read in John, where the Lord told him, whatever thou doest, do quickly. He got up and left. Then now the transition, as they were eating, see, they were still eating the Passover. The old Passover, there was actually flesh on that table that they're eating the lamb. There was herbs. There was the unleavened bread. But when Christ finished paying the debt, the lamb went away. You say, well, how did the lamb go away? Well, the lamb is the one who shed his blood. That's the Lamb of God. The herbs went away. Why? Because so complete is that death of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his own that herbs represent bitterness and suffering. That's gone away because he paid the debt. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So as we partake, let's be mindful. This, when it says this is my body, again, don't make an idol out of this. There's some that do. They don't even want you to hold this in your hand because if a crumb falls on the ground, oh, there's a part of Jesus' body that just fell down. It's a picture. This is my body. And he took the cup, gave gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament. Notice, which is shed not for everybody, but for many. The many is the way it is in the original. For what? The remission of sins. That's the only way that any will have remission of sins. It's in what this cup represents, the body, the blood of Christ. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When was that? When he rose again. You stop and consider that even as we partake here, the Lord himself is present with those for whom he paid the debt. That's fantastic. He's not far removed. And he's partaking with us. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Precious Father, thank you for these pictures that you have left us. How beautiful, how simple, how pointed, and how plain the representation of Christ and his body without sin is that acceptable sacrifice unto you and the blood represented in the cup. And I pray that in all things he would have the glory. As we partake, may our hearts do this in remembrance of him. And for that we give you the thanks and praise in his precious name.